talk about, as the title indicates, our impressions of season two halfway through. Now, I shouldn't have to tell you listeners that this call will be highly spoilery, so if you haven't watched Stranger Things up until and including episode 4 of season 2, put us on pause and go watch it right away. We can wait. Oh, good, you're back. Now let's get started. I'm Patrick the
How did you
Tall.
stop just at episode four?
I'm Patrick the
My
Tall,
God.
and I'm joined today by both old and new people for this discussion. First of all, I would like to introduce Hannah.
Are you calling me old?
I'm calling you Hannah.
Wow. I'm just kidding. It's Shadow Baby on the forums.
Jock.
Mundo joke you on the forums.
We got Sarah.
Hi, it's Sarah, Lady Weaver on the forums.
We got American Adam.
Hey, this is Adam Jon Snow on the forums.
And we got a Danish Adam.
Hello, and I'm Root in the forums.
So, Adam, this is your very first foray into the mystery tunnels of Vassals of Kingsgrave. Can you tell us something about yourself? Like,
I'm excited to be here and loved the first season of Stranger Things. When I saw the opportunity to join for a podcast about the second season, I had to grab it. I'm a friend of Patrick's in real life. We study together.
friends is a very
What? Do you
strong
build
word.
boats together? Build boats? Is that what we do in Denmark?
Yeah,
Do
Vikings
you
always build
pillage?
boats. Oh yeah, I guess. Oh, only rape and pillage together.
Yeah. Well, that does make us brothers in arms, but I mean, friends? I don't know. Strong word.
Oh, what? Okay.
Yeah. Sorry.
I
Oh,
like
no.
you.
Yeah, okay. Well.
Battlefield acquaintances.
Yes. So yeah, so you've watched Stranger Things, and I'm guessing you've also watched a little Game of Thrones, stuff like that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Watched everything, but only read the first book.
We'll have to change that,
Yeah, I
definitely.
know. I'm working on it.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's just get into it then. I will start out with a preliminary lemon cakes from each of you, or I mean, actually, a preliminary Eggos rating from each of you about the first four episodes in all. And after that, we can go into a episode by episode discussion. So first of all, Hannah, what would you give what you've seen by now in
How
Lemon?
many
We
Eggos
have
are we doing?
it's of course 0 to 11, right?
It's a choose your own Eggo
It's
adventure.
it goes to 11, of course.
Oh God, I don't know. I'm trying to think about now just the first four episodes.
So some of us
I guess
have cheated and watched
it's
more.
hard to rate from only
Well,
half a
I
season.
didn't know how far you guys were going, so I'm like halfway through six. The first four episodes, I think it starts strong,
Sounds ominous.
so just remains to be seen where it goes, but I have faith that it'll end up being entertaining, so I have like a couple of the nitpicks on some stuff, but honestly nothing that major, so I guess I'll give it like a 9.5 so far.
How about Jock? Do you have any egos to give?
I'll give it 8 out of 11 to fit with a theme.
Okay. Yeah, okay, I like that. Yeah, sure. So, Sarah?
Maybe an 8 or 9 out of 11 at this point.
Okay, and American Adam? This could be.
It's just Adam.
It's just Adam. The other one is Danish Adam. Okay.
So are
I
we
do it
calling
in
you
one day.
AA and Danish Adam DA?
We just call him Adam too. That works best. So I would say like all the Eggos stacked with chocolates and whipped cream and all the things.
Oh.
Like I'd say like if we're doing out of 11, like 10 Eggos, I guess so far. That may change when I watch the back half or something if it sucks. I don't know. But, like, it's one of those things that, you know, it immediately drew me back in. All the same things I liked were there. You know, a lot of added stuff. Obviously, we don't really know where it's going yet. But, you know, the only reason I stopped is because I had to go to work. I had to sleep, had to go to work. So, you know, it's kind of hard to knock something where it's like, I'm not going to stop until I finish it. And it's 9 episodes long, right? So.
Sure. And Adam 2?
For me, it's a definite 10 out of 11. But I'm still missing only the last episode. That may take it up a notch or down a notch. The finale is almost half a series, I think.
Hmm. Yeah, they have to stick the landing at least.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of build-up this season.
Hmm. Yeah, I think I don't know. I'm intrigued, I guess. I like some of the ideas they're putting out. For example, that we're gonna see other people that have been experimented with. Mm-hmm. So just by the sheer promise of what I've seen, I'm also inclined to give it 10, I think.
Nice.
Okay. So let's just go into the first episode or the first chapter. It's called Mad Max.
Mad Max.
Yeah. And just gonna go through some highlights. First of all, scene one, before the intro, we go to Pittsburgh and there's a robbery. The robbers escape the police by using some sort of mind trick on a cop, and we see the number 8 being on the person who does the psychic thingy majig. It's Halloween in Hawkins, and I've just written son of a bitch because Dustin says son of a bitch so many times in that. So
every time he swears, it's so good.
The gang needs money for the arcade. They get it by stealing and scrounging. Keith wants a date with Nancy. Who the fuck is Keith? I'm just saying. Will gets a vision of the upside down. So we have Jim is back, and he is confronted by a conspiracy theorist. Nancy and Steve talk about college applications, and new people arrive at school. Joyce Byers has got a boyfriend. Jim is checking the destroyed pumpkin patch. Joyce takes Will to the doctor. They apparently do that once in a while. And the doctor says it's PTSD and to ignore it. And Dustin and Lucas finds out who Mad Max really is. Is there more? We find out that Jim is living with Eleven and is being kind of dad-like. So, what do you think about the episode, guys?
I think that they named the episode Mad Max, and they had this the name Mad Max up on the video game screen, and none of the guys picked up that there's actually a movie called Mad Max. Like, that came out.
No, I think that it was referenced. Like, because doesn't the guy at the arcade like call her like Road Warrior at one point?
Spoilers. Spoilers.
Oh, whatever. That's like maybe the next episode, but I mean, I think they know that movie exists. I guess it's not. I don't know. Maybe they weren't allowed to watch it.
I don't know. I guess at that point it might have still been more of a cult thing, and it would have been coming out of Australia and they're young American kids. But I still think watching it and knowing it's Netflix, and now I'm like, that's a really shitty name for your first episode, because everyone's going Mad Max is in like Fury Road. Yeah.
Oh, so you're assuming that people don't know what Mad Max really was to begin with?
Or at least the kids might not, but, like,
well,
as in us watching the show are probably like, what? Why are they calling it Mad Max? Like, they could have picked another name for her if they wanted to call her Max, pick a different nickname.
I think that it does make a lot of sense, though, because Thunderdome would have come out the next year, like, so the trailers and stuff for that.
We're Tina in 85, right? In the first episode.
Yeah, she's
Thunderdome is 85, so there would have been trailers or media, And Mad Max 1 and 2 had already come out.
Yeah, and Tina Turner's in it. So it would have been in the, you know, rag mags and stuff, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So they probably did have some awareness of it, plus they're nerds.
Yeah, and also, it also creates mystery around this character. Mm-hmm. I think it's more like that. It's foreshadowing for this character, Max. So it's just adding to the mystery, I guess. Yeah, well, let's talk about the very first scene before the intro. I think that's interesting in itself.
It's a brave move to begin with.
To show some completely different characters.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And Derek, it's a long time before we hear anything about it again, right?
Yeah. So she is mentioned, they mention her name, Kali, although I must admit I kind of cheated. No, I didn't cheat really, because I just looked up what her name was on IMDb, and it seems like she's called Roman Reality. So I don't know what that is, because I've only watched until episode 4, and there's no mention of her after this first one. But she seems to be a person has been involved in the experiments, and also are showing psychic abilities. So what do you guys think about that?
Think about the psychic abilities, or just her character in general?
Yeah, her character in general, what she might entail for the story.
I mean, they might use even more than just her as characters.
Mm.
Like, have you seen Fringe? It reminded me of Fringe. Where there are a ton of different kids that's been experimented on with different powers.
And... Oh, yeah.
Sorry, yeah.
I thought you said French.
No, Fringe.
Yeah. That is true. Can I be dead honest? Here's what I thought. First thing, she goes boom and does her little mind trick, and I was like, oh, she's one of the experiment kids. That's how they'll make a third season. They're going to take care of whatever the fuck's going on right now, and then it'll be like Battle of the Number Kids, you know, for season 3. Just saying, if that happens, I called it right here, right now.
Sure.
No, but as
we'll remember.
Well, it's in recording now. So there's proof. But it'd be a very clever point, because that way Netflix can loop back to it later and they can say, we did foreshadow it in season 2. Like, so it won't seem super ham-fisted when you start season 3 and suddenly there's a whole heap of people with superpowers. It's like, no, it happened back last season.
Yeah, we know there's like at least 11, right? So.
Mm-hmm. Also, yeah, it might remind you a little of Fringe, but it also kind of reminds me of Heroes in the way they also do the whole thing with introducing a lot of new characters right away in season 2. Mm-hmm. That kind of implies that things are going to be shaking up quite a bit. So just by the first scene, I thought, okay, so this is not just going to be Hawkins anymore.
Mm. So I do have a curiosity about the girl. Like, do you think she escaped or they let her go? Because there doesn't seem to be a big effort to find her. Like, from the last season, I got the impression that all the other ones had like died because it was too intense.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, whoa, what the hell?
Do you think they never knew about her?
Well, somebody knew about her. She has a friggin' 8 tattooed on her arm.
Yeah.
But again, mind tricks, she might be able to, like, use that as a camouflage.
Oh,
could convince people she died or something happened.
Yeah, that's actually quite clever.
But I think it only works if she goes into one person's mind, and she wouldn't be able to affect any CCTV footage. So as soon as they watched it again, they'd know that she's alive.
Yeah. But I guess they might even be looking for her. That's why she's in cahoots with criminals. She's not able to like take a proper job and stuff like that.
Yeah, maybe.
So she's keeping...
Maybe she's just pure evil.
Or anarchistic. You don't have to be evil just because you don't follow the rules. Or do you?
Yeah. Yeah, or maybe she likes the thrill of being a thief as well.
Yeah, maybe. So she's called... In real life, the actress is called Linnea Bertelsen, and she is Danish, so...
Whoa!
Yeah. Representing!
Yeah. Again. The best actresses and actors are Danish. That's just a fact.
Exactly.
Then.
Yeah.
Yeah. So oh, that's cool. She hasn't actually done anything in Denmark. She's actually worked mainly out of London. So that's why I haven't really recognized her or anything. But yeah, this is her first major gig. So we're hoping to see more of her. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's move on to, yeah, the whole Jim and his situation now with Elle and this conspiracy theorist. I remember what was it called? Murray? Yeah, Murray. So
conspiracy theorist? It's in episode 4, right? The meeting with Barbara's parents?
No, yeah, it's not before that.
He's not a conspiracy theorist. They say he's like a private investigator, right?
No, but he comes up to the sheriff, right?
Yeah.
Sheriff's office.
And the sheriff paints him up to be a conspiracy theorist. I know it's not like completely true,
okay.
But it's how.
You know, Adam, I don't know how to do it in Denmark, but yeah, you can be more than one thing over here. You can be a PI and.
Well, I mean, his goal was to find Barbara, right? Not to bring down some
but
huge conspiracy.
In that scene, he's definitely like, whoa, man, you know, yeah. I heard about that. That's crazy. You know, I heard the one too about the guy with the hook hand. You know, like he's just completely playing him off. So.
Yeah, I mean, we do know in Denmark about like having two different things. We know we can both be Vikings reaving and stuff like that, and we can work like a proper job when we're back.
And you can be family men.
Yeah. They call that Denmark duality.
Yeah. So it's totally possible. We know. I don't think it's just not how he's presented to begin with.
I know, I was kidding.
I know, and I was also kidding. So, we haven't seen more. We don't see more of him until like we hear about him in episode 3. And I don't know. What do you think about him? What do you think he might mean for the story?
I don't know, but I love the actor.
Hmm?
He's in Netflix Love, the series Love too.
Oh yeah.
He's the radio host.
Yeah,
he's amazing.
Yeah, he's like the radio psychiatrist or whatever. He's great in that.
He's discount Paul Giamatti.
He's like skinnier, taller Paul Giamatti.
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of hate the whole aspect of them like keeping this secret, the fact that they've been able to keep it secret and all this going around. I mean, it makes sense, but also, like, clearly they don't have a handle on this, you know? Like, it makes sense they would try to keep it secret.
But isn't that what the season is about? I mean, when the Duffer
so
Brothers ended the season 1, they kind of, you know, tied everything up in sort of a neat little bow. And now they need people to deal with whatever choices was made in the end of season 1.
Right, because they also they went against some of the cliches, right? So like, the cute girl gets back with her, you know, popular jock boyfriend instead of going for the guy that she was with kind of all season. Eleven was stuck in the Upside Down. I didn't see her coming back and, you know, living in the woods with the sheriff. I didn't see that coming.
No.
And then what was then kind of the whole thing where the sheriff is like, look, fine. I'm just going to cover up for you. You just take care of things. Like, that's not typically how these things go. Like, the heroic ending, you know, the bad guys are caught. They're punished for, you know, the murders or whatever they're responsible for. And then people sort of find a way to deal with it. Or some new people come in and clean it up. But he's just sort of kind of, you know, made a devil's bargain with them because he doesn't know what else to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I was totally right. I mean, it wasn't very cliche, the first season, which was mainly one of the reasons why I liked it so much. Do you feel like it keeps the same thing that keeps surprising you?
One thing that I really that has struck me about the series in general, and then, you know, into this season as well, is that it plays on the tropes and it lives in them. It lives in that 80s world. Like, we have the boys saying like, well, a girl can't be a video game player. And then the
Oh my god, and you called it. Kid's... They made the black kid the black guy from
Ghostbusters. Right, and the one kid saying, like, well, no, I can't be Winston. And he's like, why not? Because you're black, right? And it's kind of like, that's how, or because he's not black, I mean. Like, that's kind of how people would think back then, but they also kind of call it out. But they're not calling it out in a way that feels like it's, like, modern, preachy, like, from our perspective,
yeah,
necessarily.
Beating
me
over
it's
the head
like,
with it.
Yeah, that's
right,
true.
It's people coming from their perspective back then with the way they saw the world, but also being decent people and, you know, kind of maybe
and
handling things not so good, but, you know, coming...
Like,
you know,
Mike probably genuinely isn't trying to be racist. It just probably never...
He just wants
to
be Bill Murray.
That, like,
I mean, you know.
Well, it probably, yeah, he probably wants to be Bill Murray, but he probably also, like, the thought never crossed his mind that Lucas wouldn't want to be Winston,
right?
Because he's black. Because
he makes a good case.
So
he's like,
he's
not a scientist. He came in late. Like, he's kind of lame. I mean, I think Winston's kind of cool because he represents the working man in Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Like, he's like the audience. He shows up. He's not the egghead. He's like, I can do this too and help you. But I can understand the kids being like, no, I want to be one of the cool guys. I want to be the guy that tells the jokes or the scientist. Or, like, no one wants to be Winston, you know, when you're a kid.
Especially not when you are kids that like science and stuff like that. Then you do, like, see yourself more in the scientists. That's obvious. So especially for them, that would be true. Yeah. So yeah, I was, when I saw that, I was thinking, yes, vindicated. I knew there was going to be something about something about race.
Yeah.
But you know, like Lucas's little sister, she has a black Barbie that she's playing with in one episode.
And she's sassy. Holy.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't even notice.
So, I'm just thinking that Mike probably wouldn't you want to be with the person that looks like you? You know, not that, like, they look like Bill Murray or anything, but I remember being a kid and thinking along those lines too. Like, it real innocently, you don't mean anything derogatory by it. And you grow up and you know, well, no, you can be whatever you want to be and you can identify however you want to identify. Mm. But when you're a child, you know, especially back then,
it's almost surprising that they don't all just show up as Venkman.
Yeah.
You know, but like, I guess because there's not really much different than the name patch on there, right? Like if they were going to be Ninja Turtles, like, they'd all have to pick a different color.
Like, he's kind of bossy about it, and that made me lose a little respect points for him.
Yeah, Mike? You mean Mike is being bossy about it?
He's going to grow up and be, like, the boss from The Office.
Okay.
That's how it's all connected.
No, with you saying Mike's being a little bit bossy, I kind of think that Lucas and Mike duke it out a little bit over who's the leader, because I think Lucas is quite independent and he'll call Mike on his shit or be like, no, you're being stupid, and will speak up about stuff. So I think it's quite interesting that they also reflected that with their named.
Another great detail about the costumes is that Will's is the only homemade one. The other ones seem like they bought them like that. They keep it consistent that he's from a poor family, and that's a great little detail.
It is, because his is the only one that's a bit more brownie, and all of the other guys' look identical.
And they show Joyce, like, sewing it, right, at some point? I think there's a short scene of it.
Yeah. Well, there's also other things, like when Dustin comes home and says that he's made a motor in the ghost catcher thing, and she's like, oh, well, fine. It kind of implies that they're more well off. She's not saying, oh, that's special or anything. She just, oh, that's cool.
Mm.
But as well, Dustin's house is really, really nice.
Yeah. I would like to live
really
there.
Nice.
Except for being in the woods.
Yeah, it's kind of creepy. But, like, and you compare his house to, like, Will's house, and you can definitely see the difference. Yeah. But do you guys think with Will's house, since Joyce is now with Bob, I think their house looks a lot better this season?
Like, yeah, I was like, did they move?
Whose house?
It looks bigger and better.
Joyce's, so Will's house. I think it looks a lot more put together, and I wonder if, I don't know if that's just because Joyce isn't freaking out because her son's missing, or whether it's because she's doing a lot better off now.
I don't know.
And Bob might be helping her a little bit financially or something like that. So it is a lot nicer. Yeah.
I don't know. It doesn't seem to me like they're at that stage yet. They're not living together, that's for sure. That we got that established because Jonathan makes a remark about now he's sleeping over here as well. So they're not they're not living together, that's for sure. And I don't know, not sure if Joyce would be the person to, you know, accept money from a person that she's not really even living with. I don't know. That would seem weird to me.
Yeah, totally out of character.
Yes.
She's very independent. Yeah.
Oh, can we talk about Bob?
Yeah, we should talk about Bob.
Yeah, he's a great character already in the first four episodes. That's also breaking like the stereotypes with being a really good stepdad and trying hard and a little too hard perhaps, but he's not the classic shitty stepdad.
Oh, he's probably a murderer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course.
Any person in khaki pants in a horror movie is a murderer.
Yeah, it's like people who keep bread in the freezer. Oh, yeah, in the fridge. Murderous. Every single one of them.
Oh, you know when Jonathan has, like, he's borrowed out the VCRs and, like, movies and stuff? I'm like, I wonder if one of them's The Goonies. Was The Goonies out yet? I don't know.
Oh, because, Anna.
It's, like, Samwise, and pretty sure he was in The Goonies when he was a kid.
Mm. So, Hannah just mentioned that, which is a very good point, that the power company probably gave them some hush money.
At least to the Byers family, you know, because their son got kind of fucked up.
Yeah, I think that's right. That makes sense.
Yeah, it would make a lot of sense. Damn it, The Goonies came out in 85, not 84.
That's well, now we know the theme for season 3.
Like 85 and 86, there's a ton of stuff.
That's gonna be crazy. Think about it. Lost Treasure, whatever. I'm imagining big sailboats, whatever, ships.
Full on adventure mode.
Yeah.
Galleons.
Oh, cool.
But yes, Hannah, it's very, very probable that they did get hush money.
No. I was actually hoping that you would say something, so that's fine.
Yeah, but Barb's family didn't get hush money, and they probably deserve it more than anyone.
Yeah.
Well, there's nothing to hush about because they don't fucking know.
Yeah, they don't
know. Right, but
Hawkins Lab was like, that was a freebie.
Yeah,
they should get some money.
Yeah, you know, as the power company, I would say, well, yeah, those guys are horrible people. Good for us. They don't even tell the parents of a kid that what's really happened to her.
So just keep looking and spend all your money looking.
One thing I did have like a thing about, like, Nancy is like on this really trip about how they need to tell them and they're gonna spend their whole lives looking for her, and I'm like, is it better that she's dead, or is it better that they have a little hope? Like. In their hearts, they probably know she's gone, but obviously they're clinging to whatever length of rope they can, you know?
I mean, like, but that's the sort of thing where you wish you could let them have the choice of whether they want to know or not, but that's not possible. So I think, most parents seem to say the same thing. Like, they just want to know, you know, like, if they're in another country living another life, if they're dead, like, they, you know, they just want to.
The company definitely could have done a fake body like they did for Will for Barb, just so her family knows and that they don't keep looking and keep hoping, because they know that she's dead, but they haven't even tried to hint at it for Barb's family.
No, it's a real plot. It's actually one of the biggest plot holes in the whole. That's why they didn't actually do anything to kind of shut those people up. So, but yeah, Bob seems like a nice guy. He works in Radio Shack, and he's like, yeah, so I work there, and I'm pretty well off because of it and stuff like that.
Does he manage the Radio Shack, or does he just work there?
I think he works there, but I think they could...
Did they get, like, commission in the 80s or something?
I don't know, maybe. I honestly don't know.
He said that he'd hire what's his face.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He did say that, but when he talked about moving, a way, he'd say they could probably use someone like me. So in that sense, I think that they that he would choose to take a lower position if he moved. But yeah, that's right, Jock. He did say that he could hire her. That means that he's in some sort of management position.
That's true. He must run the store or something like that. Also, I do love that scene where he's like telling her like how to hook up the VHS so she can watch it on the TV. Oh man.
It's a VHS-C.
It's a VHS-C. You gotta watch it from the camera.
Yeah.
It's really simple.
Joyce is such a mom.
Well, considering that Winona Ryder didn't know what streaming video was, I think that was just actually not her acting.
Wait,
they just
what?
Left the camera rolling and forgot to call cut, and that was just actually Winona Ryder not knowing what a VHS-C was.
Is she a Luddite?
Well, not by choice, I think.
Yeah, no, Netflix had to, like, explain to her what streaming video services
like
were
what
when
Netflix
they
is.
Approached. Yeah, like, she didn't understand. She's like, so when is this going to air?
That's so funny. No, but to be honest, she probably knows what a VHS-C is because she would have been young at the time, so she'd probably know.
Yeah, probably. Unless she's never been in contact with anything because, you know, being
Silver
rich.
Spoon and all that.
Yeah. Okay,
also,
so...
Also, it really annoyed me that she didn't know how to hand back change. She held that cash out to that guy like it was on fire. It was
maybe
so
she
awkward.
Wanted to
I'm like a professional at cashier would hand you back your money normally.
Well, probably small change burns her hands, you know. Okay, so I think we can move on to the whole thing about when they go to the power company and that doctor, he's called
Owen.
Dr.
Right?
Owens,
Paul
yeah. Paul Reiser. So, do anyone, you know, recognize Paul Reiser from anything?
Yeah, Mad About You, baby.
Yeah, Mad About You. I did not expect to see him in a horror show, in a thriller show. I have to say, Adam, do you Danish Adam?
I don't know
Adam
what you're talking about.
Okay, Mad About You. I think it's a late 80s, early 90s.
90s sitcom.
90s sitcom, with Helen Hunt. You know, the woman from Twister.
You know that Twister.
Yeah, Twister is we. I mean, in Denmark, we the TV companies think that we want to watch all the disaster movies. So, like Twister and all those kind of movies, we pretty much seen all of them. So yeah, her and this guy, they have like a relationship sitcom, and he's like he is a comedian reality. So that's kind of weird that he's our new weirdo in this.
Yeah, he's good at playing like the charming guy.
Yeah.
I like the new direction from the old doctor. What is his name? Brenna?
So
Brenna?
He was kind of the creepy guy. Like in the 80s, he had some of these roles, right? And then is he the guy? I think he's the guy in Red Oaks, I think, which is a that's an Amazon original series. About like some kid who is like a tennis pro at a country club or something, but he's kind of this like sleazy businessman kind of.
So you know he does other stuff than comedy in general. Okay, I didn't.
Yeah, he's gotten away from comedy kind of since that. I think I don't know if he still does stand up or not, but he tends to now kind of play kind of this like more malevolent, like older corporate figure. I mean, it's kind of similar to this maybe, but. Yeah, I mean, he still gets work.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, while we're talking about recognizing actors, the guy I'm playing Bob, that's Samwise from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah,
took
Sean Astin.
Far too long to realize. Yeah. he's gotten fat.
No,
he's
as
always
soon as
a
he
fat.
In, like,
so nice.
It's Samwise!
Yeah, alright.
Sean Astin.
Yeah.
Child actor.
He definitely. I mean, it's weird not hearing a West Country accent on him. I have to say, although the West Country accent wasn't that great, but yeah. But yeah, that is Sean Astin. He's gone on to do other stuff. He also actually, fun fact, Peter Jackson let him do his own directing while he was on the set of Lord of the Rings. So he kind of already then dipped into other kinds of roles and all the kinds of
Hey, you realize that a lot of the actors, like the adult actors in this, they were actually around in acting in the 80s?
Mm?
Like, most Winona of them?
Ryder. Yeah.
Yeah, she started in 88.
What was her first movie?
The first one I'm seeing is Heathers and Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice. Yeah. Is the one we recognize her from.
Yeah. Edward Scissorhands.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the Duffer brothers, who created this, are really good at making hidden references all the time. So that's probably a thing they have thought about, I think. So Nancy and Steve go to Barb's parents and feel guilty about having to lie to them. And right after that, we see Mike trying to, you know, get hold of L or 11, whatever you want to call her. So I think there's a thing where, again, it's about losing someone. And I think that's what I think also the Duffer brothers do well in their directing, and is that they, you know, chain scenes together that have some sort of reoccurring theme. For example, Nancy and Mike both missing someone or having thoughts about someone who's not there.
Yeah, but also hoping they're still alive. I got really scared after the first episode when they put up like a ton of hope in people. Because hope is the center of all tragedies. And they might go out and start to kill everyone and make it a real tragedy at some point. But not yet.
Not yet. Oh, yeah. And so we also see that the portal has not been closed, and they're just burning off weeds, basically. I had that reference in my head, you know, whacking weeds before he said it later on. So there again, I'm on point. Anything else you want to mention from this episode?
Oh, Eleven's hair looked really, really bad when we see her in this episode. Like, really, really, really bad. It looked a lot better in the next episode. But sorry.
Oh my god. Have you ever seen a hairdresser or a salon? I mean, jeez.
No, she's locked in a cabin.
We haven't spoken about Maxine.
So Dustin Lucas finds out who Mad Max really is, and they think she's hot, basically, which is weird, talking about 14-year-old kids thinking that another 14-year-old redheaded kid is hot. Well, no problem with redheads, but just another thing.
Did you think they should have thought she's like Satan and like a double spawn? Because she has red hair.
I mean, I don't discriminate with people who doesn't have a soul. Yeah, doesn't have a soul. I mean, they could be good people as well.
Well, I'll tell you what. The actress has nice hair. Her hair looks good.
All right. Okay. Yep. Well, now we know. We're gonna comment on every person's hair. I mean, I like Joyce Byers' hair. It's much better than last season. She must.
Because she's not crazy.
Yeah.
Sorry.
When we're talking about hair, we should talk about Maxine's older brother too.
Oh yeah, that is some lush looks.
Yeah.
Oh, what's the song he exits the car to? It's "Rock You Like a Hurricane," right?
Yeah.
It's amazing. And
yeah. Oh.
I mean, that is also playing with a cliche, right?
Yeah.
He's just, everyone's, oh my god, who is he? And like,
you know what?
What?
You finish, and then I'll say what I'm thinking.
Yeah, they're all like, ogling him, like looking at him, and then he like later on totally ruins that vibe that they're setting up, that he's gonna be the new hottie. Well, he is fairly well built, but yeah, he's not necessarily an obvious love interest after you actually find out that he doesn't have a nice personality.
Yeah, but he's eye candy, so it's all good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. No, just me. Okay.
I mean, I didn't actually feel like his butt was super hot. I mean, it didn't
zoom in enough.
No, I mean, it
gotta take a screenshot and.
I didn't really think that the denim pants did anything for his butt. I mean.
What, you don't like a guy in denim? What's wrong with you?
I mean, I like a guy in denim, but it's not like that. I mean, it's just that his butt would have been more accentuated in, like, spandex or something else.
You mean leather?
Leather pants. That would have been good.
Oh, man. No, okay, I'm looking up the actor, and it's not creepy at all, because he's 22, so he's older than me, so, hey.
Fine.
Yeah.
I can stare at an ogle as much as I want now, and not
feel
weird
enough. Well, you just got really excited about that.
Mm-hmm. Maybe too excited.
The scene where he gets out of the car, it actually really reminds me of Grace, but it's because Billy's more like a hybrid between Danny Zuko and Sandy, because he's the new guy, but he's also the hot guy. I thought it was funny.
You
and,
sure?
Yeah. And by the way, doesn't everyone remember in schools, as soon as you get a transfer student in, everyone's like, who's that? Oh my god, they're so mysterious. They're so good looking. Every time.
No.
You're old.
Yeah.
Is it because I'm old? Is that the reason why I don't feel like every new person is hot? I don't think that's just me being normal, I think.
Probably. No, but I mean, in general, in high school and primary school, if there was a new kid, everyone's suddenly just like, ooh, who's them? Who are they? Who's them? That's terrible English. Who are they? And they might not think they're hot, but everyone's like, I want to be friends with them because they're new and interesting and mysterious.
It's the opposite in Denmark.
Yeah.
We don't talk to strangers, so they're just outsiders.
Unless we
don't change school here.
Yeah, don't change school. That won't work for you. Unless you're old enough to drink. And then we can go to a party together, and then, oh my god, you're like totally cool at parties. I want to be friends with you.
That's but only at parties.
But only at parties. Yeah, because we forget afterwards because we were drunk. So.
And when you get drunk again, you remember them?
Sometimes, or but usually not.
Okay.
I mean, just don't change schools in Denmark. That's just a rule. Okay.
How about in Scotland and America?
I don't know.
Scotland also has a drink, but we tend to be friendly.
Over here, it doesn't fucking matter. Shit's gonna suck.
True.
Everyone's rude as hell. Well, at least when I went to school. But I'm old, so.
So, Hannah, you had something you want to say about the episode before we finish off?
Oh, just all these episodes. I'm like, what's up with the Duffer brothers and, like, shots of peeling out? Peeling out.
Yeah, with the cars.
Yeah, it's just like
every
spinning
time.
Wheels.
It's in my notes too. That exact thing.
So many shots. Somebody, I really want somebody to do a YouTube video of just all of the shots of cars.
I'll do it. Make a montage.
And then with the soundtrack from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Cars flying over the
Dukes of Hazzard
theme. Is
this
because it's called Mad Max, so it has to have heaps of cars? Car porn.
No, they were doing it in like every shot.
Mm.
And then if you watch in the first season, they did it with the bikes a lot too, like skids on the bikes and stuff.
Like, bow, bow.
What is their obsession with tires? That's a Freudian thing we should really get into.
Ooh, yeah.
Was your mother a tractor?
What? Was my mother a what?
A tractor.
A tractor?
No, like if you were psychoanalyzing the Duffer brothers, like.
Oh yeah, like that. Okay, I thought you were talking about my mom.
Patrick, I would never talk about your mom.
It not doesn't to matter. Your face. Doesn't matter. We Danes don't really care. So that's another thing.
Don't have moms.
We have moms.
It's fine.
Okay, but if that's it, then let's move on to episode 2. Treat or treat, freak.
Oh my God, are we only going on episode 2 right now?
Yeah. Well, we kind of jump
quite a bit.
We kind of jump a little. But let's go quickly through it. I mean, there's right after Elle vanishes, yeah, last season, she wakes up in the Upside Down and soon escapes. She cannot return to Might because the government are after her, and she hides in the woods. In the present day, Elle wants to go trick-and-treat, but Jim doesn't want her to and doesn't think it's a good idea. The gang dresses up as Ghostbusters, but no one else is dressed up, so that's a problem. We have... Yeah, the company is doing maintenance in the Upside Down, and the doc is thinking about Will's checkup. So something's there. We have Nancy cracking, but Steve talks her out of doing something stupid. Dustin and Lucas asks Max to join them. Elle thinks back to a memory about a squirrel. Very nice one. Jim investigates the pumpkin crops and it seems like it has something to do with the Upside Down. We have Steve and Nancy at the party. They're having fun. And then Joyce and Bob are chilling at home. And Bob asks Joyce to leave Hawkins. Max joins the party. And Jim is late for Hygge with Ella. And yeah, the memory continues.
What?
Hygge? Hygge? Okay.
Is there an English translation?
No, that's the problem. That's the problem.
Okay.
Has a quaint and cozy time without any sexual implications.
You have,
thankfully.
Knitting patterns of like hygge. There you go. And they're like weird, like sock slippery things. There you go.
Sure.
So you said hygge.
Yeah, it sounds like Hygge. But yeah, she finds Jim's care package in the past. Mike is being a bitch later on. I just wrote Mike is being a bitch. I can't actually remember what specifically it was about, but yeah, he's being a bitch.
He's mad at Maxine for no good reason.
He's being a bitch,
Mike's
okay?
Mike's heart is broken. He's grieving.
Okay.
The girl of my dreams left me.
And now this redheaded girl comes in. What she's about? Okay, so Will gets shocked into having a flash from the Upside Down. Nancy's drunk and has a fight with Steve. Will tells Mike about his latest flash, and Mike tells about Elle. They can go crazy together. I noted. Yeah. Oh yeah. Fan fiction.
No, but I mean, it's like, they can just be cute kids.
Okay. Okay, so Jonathan...
Plus, right before they said that line, I actually did think, they're going to go crazy together, and then they said it, and I'm like, hello?
Oh?
Okay, then.
Jonathan finds Nancy and gets her to bed. Jim is in the doghouse with Elle, and Elle tries to reach Mike but can't get through. Dustin finds a creature. So, important things. Why aren't anyone from the school dressed up? I mean, is it like a thing against these guys or what? They always end up having to look stupid in each episode, I think. In each season.
I mean, they mentioned that everyone did it last year, so the point is just for them to get in an awkward situation.
Mm.
Plus, doesn't it play on everyone's fears because, like, here we'd have free dress days, so normally we'd have a uniform and you'd have a free dress day. And then sometimes if you were walking into school and a whole heap of people walked past you in uniform, you're like, oh shit, is it free dress day? Is it? Better be. So I think everyone here would have a fear of that because you're like, oh shit, man. So yeah, I thought it was very, very funny and I related to it. But
Okay, and to be more serious, the first scene before the intro, we get to see what happened right after. And it's kind of weird that for me that she was like, right away, she found her way out of the upside down. It was like, no real consequence other than, well, yeah, she can't go back to Mike.
Yeah, but wouldn't it make sense for her to just hang out in the upside down for a long time?
I don't know. It's not a nice place, I think.
No, but isn't it as well if she did just hang out there for ages, she'd get really sick like Will did?
Maybe. Maybe.
I think she's the only one who doesn't cough when she's in the upside down.
But I do think it is kind of a strange choice that at the end of one season, they have a go into the upside down, and then it appears that would and pass out sort of thing. And it appears that she was only there for a few hours. It doesn't seem like there were really any consequences.
Yeah.
With her going into the upside down. It's more like, hey, it's a day trip.
But isn't that also sort of breaking the cliche? Or, I mean, you don't usually see that.
Maybe, yeah. We do want to see some sort of correlation between action and reaction, though. So it does mess with our expectations. That's true.
Like, it doesn't even necessarily has to be that she sees anything scary, but she might be trapped there for like a week.
And being hungry. Something like that.
Yeah, or a few days rather than just a few hours. Because I saw it and I wondered why even make that decision if you aren't going to have any consequences or really spend any time there. It's more like they had that as the end of their season one, and then they're like, oh shit, how are we going to do this now? As soon as they got around to writing season two.
I honestly thought she was going to be like a spirit or something like that. And that when Jim leaves the Eggos in season one in the box, that it was more like she might be able to manifest to get the food, but she was still like ethereal sort of way in a way. And
that's what I thought would happen as well.
So when this happened, it was like, well, my prediction wasn't true. That's for sure. So she hides in the woods. She knocks down a guy and steals his clothes. She eats the squirrel.
Oh, I felt so bad about laughing about that squirrel flying into the tree. I laughed for like a minute. It was so sudden.
Really?
Animal cruelty is never funny.
No, I know. That's why I felt bad.
Okay. I don't know. It's like... yeah, he kind of knew what was happening, but still, I don't know, it doesn't really appeal to me when when you see small animals getting crushed like that. But yeah, it was weird, and it's totally believable, so it gets to stay. Yeah, so Jim makes a promise that he will get candy, right? Yeah, and he gets too caught up in looking for what's happening out in the field, so he's late, but he buys some candy from that kid on the farm.
I honestly thought he was gonna be like, pull out his gun and be like, I'm commandeering your candy.
That would have been funny. That would have been fucking funny.
Oh no.
Question, do you guys know when in America shops started being open quite late? Because I'm just like, why don't you just go to the shops on your way home? But
he wanted to get home as fast as possible.
I know, but still, you don't steal a kid's candy. That's just mean.
He bought it. That's not stealing.
Yeah, I don't know. It's probably like, this is a small town. A lot of the small towns, you have to like drive a few towns over to get to like a late night open store. So, I mean, I can understand why not taking a detour for another hour would not appeal to him. So yeah, I mean, I understand why they did that. I think it's just funny that I think it's funny the way he ended up having to buy it. And it's kind of like, also kind of a trope, right? Because we kind of see that a lot of times.
Mm.
Like some sort of kid having the one thing you need to get on with the story.
Yeah.
You have to somehow bribe or convince or something, and it always ends up them getting some sort of bribe that kind of makes you look silly. So,
mm-hmm. Oh, a little detail about when he makes the promise to Eleven that I really enjoyed is she's dressed up as a ghost while the boy is dressed up as Ghostbusters.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cute. Yes, it was super cute. It was a nice parallel. And you realize as well, it was a cop sticking up a cowboy because the kid that the sheriff was trying to get candy from was dressed up as a cowboy. I thought that was kind of funny. Yeah. Two sides of the law, bro.
It kind of looked like, I'm not sure if it's actually true, but it kind of looked like they put the sheet over a smaller kid just to make it look like she is not as tall as she is in real life. It kind of looked like they were doing some sort of movie trick or something.
My thought was maybe to make a laugh sense to E.T.
Oh, yeah. That's also a good idea. Sheet. Yeah. Mm. And she is the E.T. of the show, so yeah, that makes sense. It's a good
and
point.
I've still never seen E.T.
Oh. Well, at least you've seen Twister, right?
Nope.
How?
The hype of a man to the cinema.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really big on movies, but, like, I've walked in and seen E.T., like, a few scenes a part way through, and I'm just like, eh.
Yeah,
I'm not into crazy aliens, okay?
E.T.'s not crazy.
No, but he is an alien.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, okay. But isn't the guy who plays the sheriff not short at all? So I don't know why they'd need to swap Millie Bobby Brown out for a shorter guy. Plus, Millie Bobby Brown, she has curly hair this season, so it might just be that it got squished by the sheet. Hmm. So instead of looking like an inch or two taller than she actually is, it showed her actual height a bit better.
Hmm. It just looked weird. But I guess I can see that maybe they just wanted the reference to E.T., and that's why the movement was kind of similar, I think, in that way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The guy who plays the sheriff is 1.90 meters, so...
No, so dwarf, right?
Yeah, they probably didn't need to swap the character, Millie Bobby Brown, out for anyone at all.
Okay, well, so how about Nancy? She is having a hard time, right? She's being really...
Survivor's guilt.
Yeah, that's probably it.
Worst drunk acting I've ever seen.
Yes. Yes.
Bullshit.
So bad. And also, I mean, yeah, so I danced and I... In the next episode, so I danced and I drank a little and then you got angry with me because I was drunk. And then, sure... You don't remember anything right like that. You remember everything before and after, but you don't remember specifically that discussion.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
That was...
No, and it's not even like he realizes she blacked out. It's, this is what happened. And it's like, no, honey, no.
Yeah. Yeah, that was really bad. I mean, the best thing about that whole scene... was when Billy came in and started, you know, for threatening Steve's position in the whole school. I think that's the only thing that seems to have, like, implications, better implications for the story of a character that's interesting, rather than just, I mean, it was kind of heavy-handed, maybe even qualified as a plot point that she... Had to have a reason for him to wanting to break up with her.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it seems really forced.
I don't think they've ever really clicked.
Nah.
At all. And I'm just... Oh. Because I don't think they really have terribly much chemistry, the actors, anyway. And I think Jonathan and Nancy have a much more compelling story together.
Sure, but that's also what's been shipped, right? That's what this story sort of shipping. So I think that's easy to feel that. I don't know. I think it's just, let's just agree that was terrible acting and...
Yes.
And that's just, we can at least end on that one.
Sorry, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Hannah, are parties actually like that in America for Halloween?
I wouldn't know. I've never been invited to a party in my life.
Aww.
No.
I'm just kidding. yeah, I've never been to, like, some giant house party like that. Well, that's not extremely true. I did go to a pretty big house party one time. And I only had a couple of drinks and then got super sick. And that is how I found out I was pregnant. Because I was like, there's no way I'm getting this sick off of a couple of drinks. Definitely pregnant. And then sure enough, next day, took the test. So I don't remember the party. I don't remember how good it was. And my birthday is this time of year, so I've had some big parties for my birthday.
Mm.
But, I mean, like, everyone knows each other. It's not like, oh, hundreds of people are invited, you know, kind of thing. I mean, I'm sure there are parties like that, but not that I'm going to. Unless I don't know about in high school either. That seems far-fetched.
Right, maybe. I mean, there is, like, I mean, when I was in the States, I was invited to one party, like, at a creek where anyone was just available, like, allowed to come. It was like, you don't tell the police, of course, because it was, you're not allowed to drink in there. But yeah, there is parties where you just, well, to be cool, you invite whoever, right? I don't know.
Did you do a kickstand? Because pop culture makes it seem like a really important thing at American parties. And I have no idea how it works and what's the point of it. You can't drink an entire keg, can you?
I don't know.
No, you can't drink an entire keg. So the point of a keg stand is to see how long you can like hold it for.
That makes more sense than emptying it.
But you're not drinking that much.
Well, that's what's the point then?
To get drunk.
But if you don't get really drunk.
I've never done a keg stand.
I've never done a keg stand. I've done, call it beer bongs. Yeah, we probably call it that as well. A few times.
Beer bong.
We have like this giant festival that almost all young people go to at one point in their lives. Like it's kind of like Rammspringer, just for Danish people. And yeah, you can't go to any camp without at least finding someone who knows someone who has a beer bong that is willing to lend it to you so you can try out how good you are.
I have one within reach right now.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Should we talk about Dustin's creature?
Probably.
How far is the creature story in total of what you've seen?
At this point,
mm-hmm.
In this episode
in
two.
Episode four, right?
Episode four. Then
yeah. just I don't want to spoil anything. I'm not sure.
I'm just saying, gonna say cat, and leave it there.
All
right. But right now in episode one, I didn't add this, but there was actually when Dustin came home. Then he also heard rumblings in the trash can, like.
Yeah.
And now he finds the little guy in the trash can as well. So yeah, he finds it, and that's how we end this episode. But what were your first thoughts when you saw it? Did you think this is?
So this was my first thought when I saw it.
Uh-huh.
He puts it in there, and he's like, "I'm gonna call you D'Artagnan," and I was like, "I went, honey, you should call him Cardinal Richelieu, cause he's gonna be the villain of the piece."
Yeah.
Like, are you insane? Like, I can't believe that he didn't pick up on that right away. Like, are you stupid or stone, babe? Like, you need a knot.
No, but as well, D'Artagnan is the baby of the three musketeers, so it did sort of make sense that they did call him D'Artagnan.
Yeah.
But, oh man, I actually thought it was going to be a raccoon. And it would be the third time, not the second time we heard it.
Mm.
So I was expecting it to just be a raccoon or something in it. But yeah. Not creepy monster thing.
Well, just slug to begin with, right?
Yeah.
So Well, unless we need to talk about more, we actually just jumped into episode 3, the Pollywog, because this is right after, like right in the beginning of episode 3, we actually see what Dustin finds, and he finds this slug, which he names D'Artagnan. Yeah, so did you make the connection to the slug that Will?
Yeah, instantly.
Yeah.
But no idea how it got there.
Yeah.
Also, we've only seen him puke up one of them, right?
Yeah.
Not multiple? Yeah. All right. Mm.
But I guess we don't know. I guess we don't know how many he actually puked up. But, yeah, so.
But we know it was at the minimum was one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, so he brings it? Yeah, he brings D'Artagnan to school.
And the little ghost trap thing.
Yeah, and he shows a group the Pollywog, as he calls it, and then later on Darts evolves and gets out, and because Mike is so intent on killing it, Dustin takes it and hides it and lies about it. Also, when Will sees it, he freaks out and runs out in the field and. Let's take that at the end, but yeah. So, this whole episode, basically, as the title indicates, is, like, centered around what this means for the story, right? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also, Max is beginning to be more in the group, like, more connected to the group. She last episode, she actually chose to go trick-or-treating with them. She went as Jason Voorhees, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Also, Bob. Let's talk about Bob again. He offers to drive Will to school, and he tells Will about Mr. Baldo, and he tells Will to just stand his ground.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Which is going to be foreboding to what's happening in the end of this episode.
With the Mr. Baldo scene, I actually had tuned out for a second, and I tuned back in, and he's like, balloons and stuff, and I'm like, Pennywise, hello?
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, I was just like, no, and I took it back and rewatched the scene, and I'm like, no, it's definitely not. Okay, we're good.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry, off topic. Sorry, Patrick.
No, but it's good, because that is probably what they're talking about, why they mentioned a clown as something that freaks him out.
Because it's the ultimate scary thing.
No.
There's nothing worse than clowns.
Pennywise turns into anything you're afraid of, so he is the ultimate scary thing.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Mm. Oh, it seems like Nancy and Steve is having a real rough patch. I mean, sad to see that they're not really getting on together. That's also a whole scene where they just talk about that.
I actually find it kind of funny that John tells Nancy that, no, Kevin made sure I took you home and asked me to, rather than just not mentioning it at all. I thought that was a good move on his part. And
when you said Kevin, you mean Steve?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm so tired. Is there even a Kevin? I don't think there's even a Kevin.
No, there's no Kevin. There's a Keith. Oh, we didn't talk about Keith in the very first. He wants a date with Nancy.
No, I'm talking about Steve.
Okay, well, yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, so, that happens. They don't seem like they're together anymore. Jim goes to the power company and gives him an ultimatum to just clean up or get out. Kind of ballsy, I would say. It's always that kind of move that ends up being the thing that makes them get all the cards on their hand. So they take precautions because now he seems like he's going to be a loose trigger.
And as well, that sort of talk is what gets you killed, and he doesn't have any evidence. So it's a stupid thing to say anyway.
Yeah.
He needs to hook up with Nancy and talk to her, and then he'll have evidence.
No, he does have the the box of evidence that we see in the next episode.
Okay.
So he does have something, but he's not like... Yeah, not if they follow him to the cabin, they will find Eleven and his box of evidence, and then he'll be fucked, basically. Yep. Okay, we also get some flashback about the don't be stupid rules. Yeah.
It's like horror movie rules.
Yeah.
You know how in horror movies, especially ones like Scream, you hear all of the rules about stuff you're not supposed to do, and then people do them anyway, and you're like, yeah, you're dead. So I thought it was kind of funny. Yeah, death.
Okay, so down to scene 8. There's actually very few scenes in this episode in comparison to the others. The others have up until like 17 or 18 different scenes that some of them connect, but a lot of them don't. But this one is very centered around these characters. They've been put into places and now are doing something. Scene 8, next to last, yeah, scene is where Bob and Joyce is sitting in some sort of town center and talks about Will. He tells her about his camcorder and how it's been dinged up and what's on it. And when she watches the tape, as we talked about before, she doesn't know how to hook it up. But when she watches it finally, she notices something on the tape and she edges it out, and it's basically this shadow creature. And then we just immediately jump over to the very last scene where Will freaks out after seeing this and recognizing this creature that he puked up like half a or 9 months ago.
So what is the gestation period there? Because he went from being like salamander thingy to a four-legged, you know, dog-sized demogorgon in like a day, right?
Yeah. It's weird. I mean, I have a theory, but I think I'll leave it until we're done with this and then talk about it afterwards. But yeah.
Sorry. It might not be the one Will puked up a year ago, because it is meant to be about a year ago. So it might be a new one. So yeah.
No, it's 10 months ago because it was Christmas, right?
Yeah.
So it's 10 months, more or less 10 months ago.
I mean, it doesn't have to be the same one. That's not what I'm saying. But, you know, if he's been doing this multiple times.
Yeah, but I have a theory that kind of would explain why it could be the same one. But let's just leave it there. The main thing about this whole episode is what happens right at the end. He runs out in the field and finds out that, well, he's having this flashed into the upside down, and this giant shadow monster is coming for him. He chooses to heed Bob's words, and well, that doesn't go well, and that's what it ends on. Yeah. This storm of dust or something evil stuff is going into all his orifices.
By the way, does anybody else think that the monster looks like a cloud thingy?
A cloud thingy?
What, a cloud thingy?
Yes. Like a cloud monster or like a storm.
I mean, like the shadow monster from Lost? That's what it reminded me of.
Yeah, huh?
Also the sounds it makes.
For me, it's
a polar bear.
For me, it just looks like a tornado, like a bunch of tornadoes with a face, a head.
It does. It really does.
It reminds me of like a smoke version of like the alien things from H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds.
Okay.
You didn't get that? Like, have you ever read that book?
No.
Nope. Sorry.
Oh.
Or the radio show.
Yeah, they run in, they invade, and they're, like, in these, like, super, the guy describes them in the book as, like, round balls with, like, legs that are, like, several stories tall. So that was the first thing that I thought of when I saw it.
Sure.
That's a nice comparison.
A picture.
Okay.
Yeah, well, this was actually, like, this is, if you want to look at a story arc, this is a point of no return, right? This is where we know that shit is happening this season as well. I mean, we assumed, right? But we didn't know.
It's the first really, really scary scene, right? Where he's just standing there in the field.
Yeah, also because we kind of assumed that it was, as they say, sort of just he could see into the other realm, and that he wasn't especially affected by it. But
there was
now,
no risk before.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, actually, I was wondering whether he was sort of being transported back into the other realm because we hadn't seen anyone seeing him while he's having his visions. So I was wondering whether it was actually being transported back and then he'd come back to our world. But no, he's in our world, but he's seeing both it, or is only seeing the parallel upside down one.
Yeah. Anything else? Any other ideas about what it can mean and what it's...
Nope, but I really like the execution of it. The way they did this like big bad of the season.
Yeah, let's talk about how the guy playing Will is playing his character.
Holy shit, he's good.
Sorry, can we just talk about the scene where we have Winona Ryder and everyone else seeing Will while he's being possessed for a second? Quickly. My brother's an epileptic, and how Will's the actor's playing it, it actually reminds me of a seizure a lot.
Okay.
Like, it really does. And as well, there are a lot of different types of seizures, so I think they might have intended it to be that way as well.
Mm.
That's what I thought when I saw it.
Yeah. Yes, I mean, I didn't have that connection specifically, but I did notice something, though. I feel like Joyce is really, 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 I mean, abnormally good at seeing patterns, right?
How do you mean?
In the first season, she's like, oh my god, I can put up lights and Will can communicate to me. She has almost that instinct to like recognize patterns and find solutions to how she can, you know, get more information out of apparently nothing.
So she's highly intelligent, pretty much, is what you're saying.
I mean, she's...
Do you think any of us could put all of those drawings on the wall in that house like that? Like, with an infinite amount of time?
I'm just saying, either she's very, very, very clever, and she's wasting her life on being a store clerk, or she has supernatural ability to see connections. Because also... She immediately, well, we can go in episode 4, she also, you know, sees a pattern there, like, right away. This is how it's supposed to look. So I'm saying that she is really good at this. I mean...
Yeah, but I think in season 1 with the lights, it was just her being desperate for any kind of hope. And this season, it's you're right, it seems kind of weird.
I'm not
super
saying...
intelligent.
Yeah, maybe she is just... She has a talent for stuff like this. I don't know. Yep.
And do you think as well she also has a very strong motivation in that it's for her son and to try to protect him or keep him safe?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's just firing on all cylinders.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. I had a theory in our Stranger Things podcast before the one before this, where I thought that all the buyers have some sort of supernatural connection, and that's why the Demogorgon didn't like appear unless there was someone with a supernatural connection close by. Like, the Demogorgon couldn't attack Barb if Jonathan hadn't been there, and well, Elle is also has a supernatural connection to it. So Bill. Oh, I mean, Will, Joyce, Jonathan, and Elle are the people that are always there in some sort of extent when the Demogorgon strikes, right?
Yeah, except for the one time where, when she goes into the woods and talk about seeing the faceless bear or whatever it is.
Sure.
Be right back.
But that's a really cool theory, though.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it is, but in any case, it's definitely the point is, if she has some sort of supernatural ability to see patterns, that would go into this and support this theory, at least.
Like The Shine from Stephen King sort of thing.
Yeah. So, what was more? What do we have? Is there anything else we wanted to talk about?
Eleven being jealous of...
Oh, yeah.
Of Mike Matt. And Max.
Yeah.
She should have just gotten there 5 minutes earlier. Five minutes. But that's the classic trope, isn't it? You only hear half a conversation and it's never the good half.
Hmm. So notice, just for future references to the theory, notice that that Eleven is at the school and she's getting angry, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just for future notice. So let's move on to episode 4, the last episode we're going to treat today. It's called Will the Wise. Joyce had in the last episode figured out there's something wrong with Will and found out that he was not at AV Club, so she got nervous and darted over with her car. She finds him in the field and well, he's still being possessed while she finds him. And when he's done, he opens his eyes, and then the intro comes and it resumes right after. They go out like it's out of the school like it's, well, I don't think it was a proper amount of shock. They were not rattled enough, I think, but that's another thing. Elle returns to the cabin and Jim is pissed. They shadow each other and the shouting match culminates into Jim taking away the TV and Elle blowing out all the windows.
This to me was like the best scene of the whole series so far, just saying.
It was very intense.
It was very
he takes away the egos
emotionally
too. Don't forget
driven.
The egos.
Yeah.
And it's also very relatable for everyone because you've either been the child or you've been the adult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was superb acting on both parts, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm back, by the way.
Hello.
Hello. It's damn good.
I mean, like, I almost cried watching it, to be honest.
Mm.
And you're right, mm-hmm. Sarah, like, you've been on both sides of it where... To like just the sense of I can't stop, I'm gonna dig my heels in, I'm gonna be right.
Also, it's very difficult for a person that has known this kid all the kid's life to actually know how far you can push it. So.
Well, and with him having lost a child.
Yeah, he's lost a child. That's another thing that very weighs down on him. But I mean, just the mere fact I've had a experience as a teacher where I had to say, well, this is a consequence. I told you there was going to be a consequence for you not doing what you were told, and it felt like it was the biggest villain ever because the child could not handle not being able to, you know, she negotiated and stuff like that, which is I want to give in, but you can't.
Yeah.
That's the.
Well, then for the child to not understand, like, it's not about controlling you, it's about keeping you safe, it's about love, not hate.
Exactly.
You know? But I wish he would have just said, like, don't you know I love you? Because obviously he does. Like, you just get this really good sense from the actor's portrayal that he cares deeply for her, you know?
Mm.
Yeah,
he's scared more than anything else. Or...
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and like when he comes back, you can tell he's still kind of confused as to how to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, about last night, he wants to be like, hey, sorry, but he's like, just make sure it's all cleaned up when I come back.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
And maybe you'll get your television back. Yeah.
You're grounded.
Yeah, you're grounded. Yeah. How do you?
Yeah, but she's always grounded, isn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah.
she's extra grounded.
No echoes, but otherwise the same.
Yeah, she's on
solitary.
Restriction from the TV.
How do you grind a person that can literally, you know, wreck the whole cabin? She could blow out not only the windows, the walls also if she actually wanted to.
Were you hoping that she would, like, mind put the glass back together?
No.
Because I thought that would have been bitching.
I was hoping.
She should have just with the super glue and just... putting it all together and super.
That'd be great. She puts it all together and just falls apart again because, you know, it's shattered.
Yeah. I was hoping, I was kind of hoping that you know, she hits him twice. Like, first he gets something, like it was some paper or something, and then she kind of knocks a book, and then she knocks him with a couch. I was kind of not hoping for it, but thinking that it could be very good in the story if she actually hit him with something very hard and almost killed him, like a third time.
See, I love the look of like fear and like worry on his face when the book flies at him and he's like, "Hey!" Like, it's like a solid mixture of fear and anger. Like,
Yeah.
I personally was just like, bro, you've pushed her a little bit too far when we know she's killed people before. Mm. So.
Every scene between these two are just amazing. I think they're the two best actors on the show.
Yeah, I do too. And like, yeah, like how crushed he looks when she says, "You're like Papa," you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
This like wave of heartbreak over his face.
No, but Winona Ryder is very good, especially in the first season as well. But Millie Bobby Brown is captivating as Eleven. She is astoundingly good. Yeah.
She really is.
These two together are just playing off of each other so well, you know. Yeah. They have such great chemistry as actors. But,
yeah, it's a genius move to put them together in a cabin in like a close space.
Yeah, really is. Because even in season one, I mean, their scenes together were really brief, but still really intense. Just like the exchange of looks between them and stuff. And and then, yeah, to have them now together in this season is amazing.
And also have her say more this season. She has like, what, less than 80 lines or something in
the
first season?
Yeah, like 43 lines in the
43,
first season.
Yeah, it's nothing. And she says so much anyway. And this time it's with more words on it.
Oh.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
But guys, you're forgetting Keith. That's the unsung hero of the whole season.
And Kevin.
Yeah, but...
Kevin, yeah.
Kevin.
Kevin and Keith, they're twins actually, and they're so amazing.
That's his dad's name is Kevin.
You don't realize that they're twins because they're so good at acting that they act like they're the same person, and both of them want to get with Nancy. So it's.
But who's Keith?
Keith is the guy from the arcade that tells him about
Mad
Max.
Oh, the one that wants Will to prostitute out his...
Yeah.
All right, yeah, that guy.
You don't know Keith? How do you not know Keith?
Keith is the man. He's or they are. Keith and Kevin is the man.
Like, how do you not know Benny? You
know? Yeah, exactly. Benny is the best.
While we're talking about actors, I think Finn Wolfhard, I think his acting, because he's not with Millie Bobby Brown this season, I think it's not quite as good as last season. Or
yeah, it feels stifled, doesn't it?
Yeah, it feels a little bit hollow, almost. I don't
know. Do you mean Mike?
Maybe because... Yes, Mike. Shit. I'm really bad at things today. Oh, my God.
Okay.
Yeah, but he really shines together with Noah, the guy who plays Will.
Yeah, they have
good
chemistry.
You can just feel the friendship between them.
You know, actually, when I first started watching it and I saw the two actors, I'm like, they should play siblings. If they need two actors similar age, they could have cast them as siblings, and I'd believe it.
They look a lot alike.
Yeah. I was actually
thinking the haircuts in the first season.
How great the casting was with all the buyers. They all look very much alike. It's not just the like facial expressions stuff, like that's really good casting.
They did
the whole
a good
series
job
is great casting
except for Nancy. No, I'm just hating on her because of that stupid drunk
theme.
Yeah,
no, I'm not thrilled with any of that.
I mean,
I think the guy playing Steve Harrington also is doing a really great job this season.
Yeah.
It's a small role, but he brings so much to it, you know?
Yeah, I think he's doing a great job at playing the cliche character when he's gotten past being cliche. I mean,
yeah,
that's the story. Right, he's the douchebag in the 80s movies that learns not to be a douchebag, which they don't normally, but... In the series,
yeah,
the typical trajectory is like they they don't learn to be a that they're, you know, a douchebag. They just, like, get beat by the underdog and then sort of, I don't know, ostracized from society.
Yeah, and then
like Troy.
And then 20 years later, they try to take their revenge on of the nerds.
They're pumping gas. Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, so that's, I think that's, he's good at being that character. I'd like to see him in something else as well, I guess.
Yeah, and I kind of like the storyline where Steve's having everything taken away from him, or like his position in school by the new kid. I kind of like that storyline because we get to see Steve play more than just the boyfriend role.
But also,
I'm pretty sure Billy's gay is what it's going to end up being.
Yeah, I think so too.
Well, he does take his shirt off a lot, and it's so funny because, like, all of the other male actors' shirts are on the whole time.
He's, like, rubbed down with Crisco, too. It's not just shirt off. It's always moist.
It's like the volleyball scene.
Yeah, his chesticles are buttered up. It's so gross.
Yeah.
And he's rocking the one earring like, you know, Kiefer Sutherland in Lost Boys and shit. It's just too much. It's too much.
They what just does he call actually? Him when he mentions that, like, that his girl's left and he's like, oh yeah, pretty boy like you will do just fine. I'm like, wait, where is this going?
Yeah.
I honestly thought it was gonna turn Shawshank right there.
He's about to be like, I know I've been riding you hard as the new guy taking your spot, but why don't you come over to my place?
But now I'm gonna ride you hard in another way.
Oh god.
Penthouse.
Oh yeah, there is some homoerotic.
I don't know if that would be Penthouse. Is there like a, the gay version of Penthouse letters?
The only thing that would make him more cliched is if he rode a motorcycle, and I'm pretty sure the only reason they didn't have him ride a motorcycle is so they could get him and Maxine in the car together.
Yeah.
They were like, we got this great motorcycle.
I don't like him. Billy.
No, it has to be a T-Bird.
Yeah, we haven't really talked about his relationship to Max. It's not the best.
It also seems really rapey.
I don't think it's
controlling, like, and possessive, but like they're step siblings, it seems like, but like they're on the run, or they maybe had to leave their other school because of something she did. I'm trying to figure out if it's like criminal level mischief or just like normal kid mischief.
I almost wonder if they aren't even related at all, but it's more like a gang.
It makes me wonder if she has a tattoo on her arm.
Because there's no parents anywhere.
Yeah. Mm. And also, I think, I kind of think maybe they're plants in school. Because they both go to exactly same, like, grade than that the characters from this, you know. Maybe they're there to look after, make sure that the guys are not. No, that does make sense, actually, because he warns her about Lucas. So that's weird. Yeah, maybe not. Or maybe she doesn't know that she's a plant, and he knows.
What?
A plant, like a.
She's a replicant.
She's not
and doesn't
even
know
a
it.
Spy.
That she doesn't know that she's just there to be a spy, just to make sure that they don't talk. But
no, because
her skateboard has a listening device in it that she doesn't know.
Because then why would he be discouraging her to hang out with them?
Mm-hmm.
It's all part of his plan, because he knows she won't listen.
Yeah, he wants a rebellious, I'm putting in quotes, younger sister.
Maybe, I don't know. It is not the best theory.
Some weird shit going on.
It's not the best theory, I must admit.
So why is he even, like, giving her rides? He seems to hate her so much. Like, why does he take her to the arcade instead of just being like, like, you would think he'd be like, fuck you, I ain't taking you.
I think they explain it. They live a song.
He's like, be back in an hour! And drives off.
He's like, you're a piece of shit, but I'm stuck with you.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell?
Peep the gang thing.
Yeah.
Because
Which gang are they a part of?
Important.
The Warriors?
The same gang that the superpowered chick was from the first episode, obviously.
The numbers. Let's just call it the numbers.
Right. From that first scene that we know. But it still doesn't make sense why she. Well, then wouldn't she be more familiar with this crazy psychic stuff? And
maybe.
Yeah.
Why would she be the one responsible for them having to come there? I don't know.
With Max,
she doesn't
did you
know
guys, when you first saw her. Did did you think she'd have superpowers? Because in the trailers, I'm like, oh yeah, I kind of expect her to be replacement 11 and maybe have superpowers.
No, not really.
When I saw the trailer, I thought she was going to be Barb's younger sister, helping them discover what happened. And then Dana ruined it for me and told me.
Everyone listening to this probably has like watched the whole season already before they listen to it, and they're just like, oh, these guys are stupid. We know exactly what happened.
Okay, so shirt's greased up. He kind of macks on Steve. At least I don't know. He seems like he's kind of trying to teach Steve some sort of lesson, at least. Because he tells him how to better kick his ass next time, stuff like that.
It seems a little 21 Jump Street though, doesn't it? Like
it makes me think that Billy, it better be Billy, otherwise that's the third name mistake of the episode.
It is Billy.
Strike three.
it makes me think that he might actually be a few years older than them and might.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it really does. And
he's definitely like 19.
Yeah, or whether he has a lot more life experience or something like that.
I don't think he's undercover as a cop or anything.
No.
But he's just like, I'm young enough and it's the 80s so I can forge some documents and hide in the school system.
Yeah, or whether there's another secret organization that is helping people like Eleven. And they're part of it or something. Ooh, that'd be cool.
There's gonna be a bald dude in a wheelchair that rolls up.
No, I like the Russian thing better. I like the Russian thing better.
No, Professor X all the way. No.
Well, I like the Russian thing. I like
it's a groovy mutation.
Yeah.
I honestly did think I thought he might be Russian.
Mm-hmm.
Where he knows a little bit, and then to throw him off the trail, he doth protest too much. Kind of thing against Russians.
It's the 80s. Any white person that doesn't speak great English is probably Russian. I mean, we were afraid of the Soviet Union. Like, that's how everyone probably was thinking. So I just assume that's why they were like 11 is like, oh, so some Russian girl. Like, well, because she didn't speak fluent, but there's no Russian accent in the way she speaks.
And she acts weird, so it's definitely some Russian girl.
Definitely a Russian spy. Mm. Commies.
Also, we never see their parents. They showed every set of parents this season, but not the new guys.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't have parents. Mysterious. I'm pretty sure they ate them.
That's what Russians do?
Yeah. So, did you know that?
It's a tradition.
Right after they hatch from their eggs, they eat their parents.
I was about to say, the Russians probably just hatch from eggs.
We haven't seen Keith's parents, or Tina's parents, or Steve's parents, or Kevin's parents either, though.
Wait, Keith, Tina, I'm so confused with characters right now.
Holy, where is IMDb? I'm pretty sure we've seen one of those parents.
No.
Didn't we see Steve's parents?
I don't think
And Tina's parents weren't home, that's why she was having the rager.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Was she the chick who had the party that episode?
Okay. Yeah.
No, you don't know Tina?
And Steve's parents was away the only time we saw his house, so that's
true. I refer to it as the We Killed Barb party.
Yes. We Killed Barb.
And that's a bit barbaric.
I do like the way he addresses that the next day. He's like, apparently we killed Barb, and it's bullshit.
And he's like, kind of fuck you, because we didn't do that. He's running him down.
Mm-hmm. No, plus if anything, it's Nancy killed Barb more than anything, right. Because she's the one who forced Barb to go when Barb didn't want to.
Yeah.
And she didn't leave with Barb when it was quite clear that Barb was not comfortable there at all.
She also forced her to shotgun that beer, which is obviously.
Yeah, but again, an evil creature from a hell dimension came and killed Barb. So it's you know what I mean. It doesn't matter if they were walking down the wrong alley.
The thing is, it's
also
she was being a shitty friend.
No, but also Barb didn't go directly home, so it's Barb's fault that she died. Right?
Yeah.
Nancy didn't even walk her to the car,
like, to make sure she got to the car safe and then have her drive home. Yeah. Like, Nancy,
dude, if she would have just had her friend get some, she'd still be alive, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, she should have.
But I mean, it's survivor's guilt, but they shouldn't really, you know, like, it's not their fault.
No.
Like, really.
Yeah.
I understand having those feelings, so it's that.
A monster from a hell dimension.
You're like, Cthulhu totally destroyed my town, but, you know, we would have been out of town already if I hadn't slept in. We would have been on vacation, and now we're all dead. It's my fault. Mm. Like, no, that's not how it works.
Okay, we didn't actually talk about Nancy and Jonathan making a plan by going to, what was it, Radio Shack? And then now we see what it's all about. So they call Barb's parents and tell them that something happened and that Barb's dead. And the company was listening in on that. So they go to the park. And, well, of course, they get picked up by the company. And
their car doesn't work.
Their car doesn't work. That's probably the company, because they control all power, right? No, they probably just jacked with the...
It reminds me of Wolf Creek. Like, that scene.
No. I don't know which one, what that is.
It's an Australian horror movie, and the killer, what he does is, at a specific location, he messes with people's cars so it won't start, and then he'll drive up and offer to help and take them back to his place and fix it, and then he murders them.
Oh, yeah.
That's a ripoff of the Zodiac.
No, it's not, because it's supposedly based on a true story, but...
Yeah, so's the Zodiac.
I'm
just kidding.
So, yeah, so...
No, but he did that. He, like, took the lug nuts off her car instead of, like, putting them on to get her to get in the car.
Several people would do, like, stage things, murderers and such.
But they go to the power company, and the Doc Owens, he tells them that they better shut up or else. Quite heavy-handedly, I must say. Something about weed getting trimmed and... a guy with a flamethrower. That happened.
Don't you find Paul Reiser in that scene like creepily jovial too?
Yeah.
He's like, hey kid.
Don't you think?
Lesson time.
Yes. When we have problems, I have to solve them, and that applies to any situation. So do you understand?
Today's intimidation tactic brought to you by the letter F.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does not want to these kids and then have more cover up going on. But they don't. I don't know if they really realize that. I would hope they do.
Well, they don't fucking care, because what happens afterwards? We find out that she's been recording everything he said. So
yeah, these guys are the worst. Recording devices are huge in the 80s. How could you let this happen?
How could they not frisk them or search them or anything?
Yeah.
It was in her bag.
Do they have a gun?
Hear the sound of the tape going.
Yeah.
It's not
like
a silent tape.
Well, yeah, how did they not, like... Obviously, that's what they were doing too. Like, oh, a year they keep quiet and suddenly want to talk, and they know we're listening.
I buy that. You know, they made me think. Well, it's been a year; they're not paying attention. You know, that's how the company would probably think. And like, they're monitoring. Go, okay, we got to pick these people up, put the fear back in them. I don't think it's even gonna cross their mind that they're up to something. They've got some.
You got to get way higher level paranoid thinking than that if you're gonna be running a. Insidious laboratory.
They're too busy buying fuel for flamethrowers. That shit's like probably on a shortage.
You mean they're too busy being shitty gardeners?
No, they're doing a great job of containing it. It's so contained, the most contained. You've never seen so much containment.
Contain all day, every day. Like, let's concentrate on this one area, even though we know. There was a whole of this shit in the middle school, because otherwise how that would the janitor just come by in the morning and go, there's a giant gaping hole in this wall here. I'll just shellac over it. Like the military cleaned the middle school up at the end of season one, I'm assuming, right?
They bring in big trucks at the end of season one.
Yeah
so they had to know it was more places than just the one little original hole. And also Nancy, you don't think that she told them about the tree she went into in the middle of the fucking woods?
Yeah, but my impression, like, last season was that a lot of those things were closing over and gone, you know? like, I don't know if they're, like, you know, all going to reopen again. This seems like something new that's kind of, like, spreading out underground. And I don't know. They don't really have good technology for tracking it, right? They've just been focusing on their site, but it's not like they have, like, nowadays it would be like we would have, like, a really fancy computer display and be like, I can see the spread, and here's a map of the city. They have some magical radar that can see.
Yeah, but they could still map it and put it on a map and use, like, markers and stuff to track it.
Well, the thing that's the worst is the pumpkins, when he's like, yeah, these pumpkins are, like, hella, like, upside down decayed. And they're like, yeah, we'll look at it. I don't know. Looks weird. Probably okay.
But don't you think they know?
There's another...
Don't you think they know? Because they have, like, reading equipment inside the upside down.
Yeah.
So I think they know more than they're giving on. I mean, that's obvious that they do.
But, like, they're also in way over their heads then as far as containment.
Yeah.
So it's getting out of control, and they just sort of like, oh, we're doing our thing. Like, at what point do they sound the alarm bell and, like, get the help to fix it? I don't know. It's like the reactor's melting down, and they're like, no. We're like, you know, turn potato into a light bulb, you know, battery or something. Like, we're good over here.
So you've moved on to the when Jim digs up the field and is looking for vines and actually finds what he's looking for, right?
That's episode 4, isn't it?
We are in episode 4.
Well, but he goes back, like, he shows them the field, like, way earlier and goes back.
Yeah. But we end up finding out that those vines that Joyce so handedly discovers what are actual vines that are growing underneath Hawkins, or at least roots. Well, yeah, Will also has a problem. We have to address that. He's not feeling well, or feeling a bit off, and
oh god.
And well,
feeling a bit under the weather.
Yeah. So he...
Wait a second, is this like some sort of like Norse mythology here? We've got like Yggdrasil, the world tree spreading its roots, and people turning cold like frost giants. I mean, I don't know, I'm just reaching.
Well, people don't turn to frost giants. Frost giants are frost giants, so...
Well, maybe you're Loki and you're like half and half, like...
Well, yeah, well, in that case, then it's not Norse mythology, then it's Marvel. So, yeah, I mean, there might be something. I mean, every time you have some sort of great all-powerful plant or something that can be some references to, you know, real mythology. But I didn't make that connection specifically, but I wanted to make... like a note of that when Will comes home and he opens up to Joyce about what's happening, and she's like,
that's another great cliche breaking.
Yeah.
Like, no secrecy bullshit.
Yeah. And and she's just like, okay, you're also quite cold. Let's take a hot bath. And he's like, no, I do not want, like, he does not like the warmth.
He likes it cold or something.
Yeah, yeah. And then just like.
And that's where I shit my pants as a parent.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's where you call your church and get an exorcism.
Yes, exactly. That's the point. But then again, we've all heard about stories when young kids say super creepy stuff without you know, any prompting. So I was just like, this is in that. I mean, I know this is for the story purposes, but it also just reminded me of, like, small kids saying, mommy and daddy is soon gonna be angels, stuff like that.
So yeah, crazy. They're not gonna murder you at all.
So yeah,
I'm not gonna lie, there's been so many times with my kid, like, not so much now, but when he was younger, where he'd say creepy shit, not quite like that, but I'm just, like, in my mind, I'm like, are you going to kill me?
It's all for you, Damien.
Yeah. Could you imagine if you have, like, a heap of kids, like, 4 or something, and there's, like, you and your partner, and then you're, like, we're overrun, and they're all saying creepy shit? They're all possessed.
Well, even, like, my cats, too. I've looked at my cats before, and, like, they're staring at me, and I'm like, are you going to kill me in the night? Like... Are you evil?
They're probably sizing you up in case you die.
Yeah. Like, if I go to sleep, am I gonna wake up with you chewing my face off?
Maybe. But yeah, talking about kids and being possessed, this guy is actually possessed by something that does not like the warmth, or rather prefers the cold.
Don't worry, honey, I promise it's not holy water.
Yeah. So
just get in.
So that kind of, like, we know that the, like, now this is amping up. Something is really starting to happen. Well, we can assume that after he got possessed by a big dark tornado monster. But yeah.
And, do you realize something? It sucks for America because they're in the northern territory, the northern hemisphere.
Mm-hmm.
No. In America, it's the northern hemisphere, so they're going into winter. But if it was in Australia, we'd be going into summer, so the upside down couldn't really take root.
But it would have just happened fast.
It's magic. It would do it anyway.
But it hates hot weather, okay? So we'd be set at least until winter, and then
under
we don't
the
really
ground,
get that cold.
It's cool and cold.
Ho, ho, ho.
I know.
Okay. So...
What's so funny, Hannah?
Yeah, it's just me. I'm always funny. I don't even know it sometimes.
The random Game of Thrones reference slip in. Well, not Game of Thrones.
Song of Ice and Fire. Yeah, let's keep the two things separate.
Keep it real.
Keep it separate. Like peas and the corn.
And carrots?
Corn.
Yeah. Mashed potato.
Peas and corn. You know. Okay, whatever.
What are you talking about?
My Sayara? Men, you might go ahead.
Oh, I zoned out for like a minute. And
yeah.
Not a goddamn potato in there.
Okay, so she connects the dots, finds out that it's everything is supposed to be like that, and Jim automatically thinks this is vines, and he's like, mm-hmm. Okay, what am I going to do? Am I going to go to the power company and talk about this, or am I going to a stupid field and growing, like, I'm digging a big hole, hoping that I might find something? And then he finds something, that's not the problem, but it's to me, it sounded like he was digging into some sort of big vein or something very, but it ended up just being like a tunnel with some vines on around it, right? Right?
Yeah, on top of it, which... Yeah.
Maybe it's a bomb shelter.
I mean, it was less impressive than I hoped it would be. I'm just saying.
You didn't find it creepy? Oh.
No.
I hate confined spaces. Yeah. Every scene down there. Nope.
Okay.
Yeah, I also like, why is he going rogue by himself?
Yeah, that was a little weird. But he does that all the time. It's just a personality flaw now.
Why not even just... call and give them a heads up at the power station and be like, hey bro, we think this is going to happen. Good luck. I'm gonna go do some other stuff right now.
Yeah.
Did you also think that the little orifice that spews shit at him, it reminded me of the bog of eternal stench in the labyrinth?
I hadn't made the connection, no.
A little
No, I didn't see that. But yeah, sure. I did hope that it would be something. Maybe he got, instead of, yeah, he would dig a hole and he would fall into some sort of bog or slime pit, something like, yes, and come out of it just kind of like Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
That would have been cool. Covered in slime. Mike? Reaches the buyer's house and gets the brush off by Joyce until he reveals that he know what he knows, and then she's like, okay, you're in the in crowd, come on. That's also interesting. Yeah, so let's talk about Dustin, his last scene.
Well,
what's his last
scene?
He
was the one who decided to keep it as a pet.
Yeah, Dustin comes home and, we got some foreboding right away. Then with the mom saying, where's kitty?
And then, oh, that's it.
Yeah.
Is she feeding her cat Cheerios? Also,
yeah,
by
yeah.
The way?
I was thinking about that too.
What the fuck?
Yeah, well.
Loosen the purse strings a little.
Americans in the 80s, I'm guessing.
Like, that might be why your cat's not around. You're feeding it Cheerios.
Yeah. Okay, so, yeah, he gets back into his room and he starts talking, you need to talk about something and I need to save Will. And then he flips over the rug or whatever, and he finds out that he's broken out, and then he follows a trail of blood, not ominous at all, and finds out that Dart has grown and it is eating the cat. And it's not just is grown, it is now obvious that this thing is a demigorgon, a baby demigorgon.
A naughty one, a cat-eating one.
Yeah, it's been a bad demigorgon. Bad demigorgon.
You realize?
So yeah, that means basically one major reference that we need to address. This is alien, right?
What do you mean?
Yeah. You get eggs
face
put
huggers.
Into yeah face huggers. You get eggs into your stomach and then they gestate sort of in you. So yeah.
Yeah, but Dustin didn't gestate them.
No, but Will did.
Your child.
Will did.
Oh yeah, Will. True.
So.
Okay.
So yeah, this is a clear alien reference. Yeah, I thought that was cool.
You know, I wonder if the Demigorgon is going to try to eat Dustin or not, or whether it's like a naughty puppy who's decided to go eat something it shouldn't, and is like, "Hey, Dad, how you doing?" Yeah.
Do you think that they will do the? That's actually a thing where you can in role playing sometimes, especially the dungeon crawlers. There are possibilities for you to tame creatures that normally would be weird to do so for the role-playing aspect of it. Do you think it's going to be like he is going to be... What was he? He was a bard? Yeah, he was a bard in their party. Maybe he could go more like a multi-class with a ranger and have Demogorgon as his pet.
Maybe.
One hell of a pet.
Everyone else is being super quiet, probably because they know what happens.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. I'm
no
trying
spoilers.
Not to say anything. Yeah.
No spoilers.
It's been hot for half this episode.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. But yeah. I don't know. Because as well, the Demigorgon might also go all baby snake and try to eat Dustin now that it's big enough as well. So. We'll see.
Now that it has teeth, like Dustin.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
We haven't mentioned Dustin's teeth yet. What? We've talked about hair a lot, but no teeth.
Come on, Dustin's a cutie. Leave him be.
Yeah, that would be superficial. That would be superficial to talk about teeth, right?
Hair is superficial too.
Yeah, but you can change your hair. And it's more Dustin, the kid who plays him, can't really change his teeth. But the hairstylist can change what they're doing and putting on Millie Bobby Brown's head.
Now you have to make it serious, Sarah. That's not...
God damn it. It's not my fault they did an awful job with her hair.
But yeah, I think Adam was being slightly sarcastic.
Yep.
I don't know. I really don't know about that.
About what?
About the whole Demogorgon thingy magic. And yeah.
We'll see when we watch the next episode. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Wink, wink. Anything else we need to talk about?
I don't know.
I don't think so, really. Yeah, I think we pretty much covered everything in some form or other. Any projections for end half of season, plus maybe a finale projection?
My prediction is that Mike and Eleven meet up, and then it's going to be like, oh my god, I missed you. Didn't you move on with Max? No, I never moved on with Max. It's only you and my heart. Yeah. Sappy romance.
I am recusing myself from predictions because I've seen a little farther than.
Yeah, same for me.
But you can make the guess of what's gonna happen
with the big bad.
Yeah.
Because that's a definite finale thing.
Well, I mean, they're picked up for season 3 and already in development talks for season 4, so I'm gonna go with they defeat it.
Or they don't.
Yeah.
They don't
and
die.
They're definitely gonna use like the 008 girl from the beginning, right? Somehow.
Yeah.
I mean, she needs to be tied in some way.
So they.
I will say this: if they kill off Sean Astin, I'm out. Done.
Why is that? Because he's super cute in his Dracula costume.
Because he's just amazing. Like
yeah.
Sean Astin needs to be in everything.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he is gonna end up carrying someone to some place important. Oh, Joyce, I can't carry it myself, but I can sure carry you.
Oh, but it's more likely that he'll carry Will, because Will is the one who's
yeah, the ring bearer.
Super sick and
yeah.
freaky like Frodo.
Yeah, he's a ring bearer, that's sure, for sure. But I was just mentioning Joyce because that was the first name that came into my head, okay?
It works.
Yeah.
It works.
Okay, yeah, well, I think also people will survive. Most people will survive. I'm not sure if this is the kind of series that kills off people, that like main characters.
Did they kill off anyone like really special last season?
Nope.
No.
Kill
Barb.
Kevin.
Yeah, but Barb never really was.
I don't think they can kill off the young kids,
Barb.
The main four.
No.
Otherwise, people
either.
Will be pissed.
Mm.
Like, super,
mm-hmm.
super freaking
yeah.
pissed.
That's
after
why
that
you couldn't kill off
in
11.
The bathroom with Nancy, they could kill her off, and I'm not going to be.
Yeah, like, I think Nancy, Steve, Jonathan, possibly, they could kill them off.
She's bullshit.
But I don't think the main four, well, main five if you include 11, will be killed off. I don't think they will be.
Well, I mean, Will wasn't really part of the first season. And now he's an integral part of it, mainly because
mm-hmm.
he's so tortured. So, I mean, if anyone from the group, the party, was to die, I think that would be Will then.
Yeah. My theory is that this season there's no, like the doctor from the lab this time. It's like a more charming dude, not really a bad guy. So, in the end, the issue will be between, do we have to kill Will to kill the big bad, if they're connected
yeah.
somehow. So it's going to be like a moral choice in the end, instead of an easy bad guy that has to die.
Mm-hmm. They could kill off Billy.
Please.
Not before they have...
He's only in four.
I think in the end they won't kill Bill, they won't kill Will, and then they just, the upside down becomes the downside up.
Oh!
Yeah, I mean, I still need the whole Billy and Steve thing to go somewhere before Billy dies.
When you say go somewhere,
I you know what I mean. You know what I mean.
They're
when
going that car somewhere, that's for sure.
You want the shirts to come off?
Yeah, I mean, I want both shirts to come off.
No, he's such a nice
because
boy.
I want them to kill Billy and bury him in his best suit shirt. No shirt, jeans.
Do you mean you want them to discover he's really a vampire?
Yeah, exactly. Death by stereo.
Oh, that could be so cool, actually. You know, they've every character, like they kind of forebode characters with you know, D&D references.
Mm-hmm.
So. What if the next big bad is something like a warlock or a vampire?
Ooh.
As long as it has a maze, it can be a warlock.
But yeah, something like that. If it's the other people with numbers on, it could be a warlock, like someone who uses mind powers to control other people.
That would work.
That's 8, isn't it?
8, yeah. She basically can affect people's, you know, way of doing stuff. So yeah.
Could be 11 in the future.
What do you mean? 8 is 11 in the future?
No. No, but 11 goes 8.
She did a reverse Michael Jackson.
Okay, well, it's
classic.
Yeah. totally Thriller.
With that could work because 11 could be like Mike's burned lover or something, because I think they're really going for that angle.
Mm.
Which is stupid. They're kids.
But then again, they're kids and they do stupid shit.
I'm not saying that you're stupid. I'm saying that that would make me uncomfortable.
The idea you had there is stupid.
It would be. No, it would possibly be very uncomfortable, but if it's like not season even. 4, so it's like a 15, 16-year-old type thing, then
okay, I could see
you
that.
Could see it. Yeah.
Sarah, it's I do apologize. I wasn't trying to say you're stupid or that idea was stupid. I actually had the same thought and I thought it was stupid. Like
no, but you mean if the script writers did it and they're 14, you're like, you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah. That's way too much.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm guessing on that note, unless you have anything super interesting.
No.
I think that should be, let's end on a high note, talking about what's stupid with romance.
Good idea.
Yeah. Romance stupid. Let's agree upon that. Okay. Well, on that note, let's end this call here. I'm going to say thank you to all the guys that ended up joining this podcast.
Yeah, this was fun. This was fun. Thanks for letting me join.
Yeah, nice to meet you, Adam.
I like talking about nice good series.
Well, good series always make it a lot more fun.
So we'll regroup here in 5 hours to finish?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. And then Adam will just have to think of a different name.
I have another name. I bought the name Adam, like extra name. So my real name is Emil, by the way.
Yeah, try pronouncing
that's
that
too Danish.
Properly. But yeah, no, I'm thinking maybe a week or something, maybe a two. Week or two. Before we do the full season review, just because also let us give people some time to, you know, actually get to watch it. It's not everyone who binge watches series like the first day or the second day. So, right, Adam? You're not.
I'm gonna watch it a second time before.
Sure. Yes. Okay. Well, yeah. So thank you guys for joining me, and thank you listeners for tuning in. We can be found on YouTube once in a while when we feel like it, on WordPress, VOK WordPress. We can be found on the Podcast of Ice and Fires forums, and yeah, we do Facebook and Instagram as well. So find us on social media. We're there, not very often, but we are there.
We're on that new one, that whatever the new one is, we're on that.
Yeah, we do all of the socials.
But nobody's on MySpace anymore.
Oh,
just to wait, it's gonna be retro in a few years.
Probably will be.
So yeah, thank you and goodbye.
You too. Goodbye.
It's been my bad. Thank you.
Yeah.